We are welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, government terminates the contract of ICT company RLD Communications and other service providers under JIDA. What signal does this send with regard to the government's determination to deal with corruption? As the youngest region, the Upper West region is 31 years today. Stay tuned and hear from the first PNDC secretary for the region, who is currently a member of parliament. What development vision does the current political administrators of Upper West have for the region on the occasion of 3 decades of existence of the region? And for close to 22 years, he was a GBC regional correspondent. Which kind of stories does he think should engage the attention of journalists in the regions in an era of polarist media regime? Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories. You can also join the discussions via text on 0266-677570, 0266-677570. But first, Jonathan Thompson is here with a summary of the day's news.
Thank you. And Agatha, I know you're doing well and ready to fire, so I wouldn't even ask. The Editors Forum Ghana will tomorrow meet at the press center at 10 a.m. All members of the Editors Forum are requested to make it a point to attend the first meeting of the year 2014. Ghana is to deploy 850 peacekeepers to South Sudan to assist in humanitarian services in the ongoing conflict in that country. President Mahama announced this when the Ethiopian Foreign Minister Tedros Ghebreyesus called on him at Flagstaff House. He said the deployment is in response to a request from the United Nations. Government has been explaining the abrogation of contracts for some service providers under the JIDA program, saying it is to enable government to restructure the organization. The service providers include the RLG Communications Module, Better Ghana Management Services, and Gallywood Film Production. The national coordinator of JIDA, Kobe Champon, told Radio Ghana that the move will enhance transparency in the management of the program and ensure value for money. The Environmental Protection Agency has given the Accra Mall 6 months to take care of an unbearable stench emanating from one of its facilities or face closure. The operations manager of the mall, Stephen Newman, gave the assurance that the administration will do everything possible to correct the situation. And a 36-year-old medical doctor has dragged her former husband to court for harassing her by calling her at all times after the dissolution of their marriage. Despite persistent warnings from the woman, the former husband continued to text and call her. This behavior, according to the woman, made her unhappy, miserable, ridiculed, depressed, and humiliated. The former husband has been charged with emotional, verbal, and psychological abuse.
It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, Sunrise FM 106.7 in Kofoda, Radio BA 93.5 in Sinai, and Radio Upper West 90.1 in Wa. Was the decision to terminate all contracts between Ghana Youth Employment and Entrepreneurial Agency JIDA and its service providers part of the recommendations made by the committee set up to investigate alleged corrupt practices at JIDA, or part of radical measures government has adopted to deal with corruption? A statement by the Ministry of Youth and Sports says government has decided to terminate all contracts that local telecommunication company RLG had with JIDA. The statement also directed RLG to have engagements with the Attorney General's Department and the Ministry of Justice on its liabilities to JIDA and to refund some monies to government. Now, the National Coordinator of JIDA, Kobe Echampon, says the termination of contracts of some service providers of the program is to enable government to restructure the organization. This, he noted, is to enhance transparency in the management of the program and ensure value for money. Government has terminated contracts of the IOD communications module, the Better Ghana Management Services, Asantaba, Gallywood Film Production, and other service providers. Mr. Champon spoke to my colleague Yaya Kwama in an earlier interview.
I can confirm that we have terminated or abrogated our contract with a number of service providers.
Can you tell us these service providers that you have terminated your contract with?
Well, I don't have the list in front of me, but I know it's the Better Ghana Management Services, Asantaba, ROG Communications, Zira Group, and Gallywood Film Production.
Are you able to tell us why the termination of this contract?
The termination of the contract is based on a simple issue. There is a need to reform JIDA and restructure it. Mind you, JIDA has already operated without a legal framework. Establishing it, and therefore we are in the process of establishing the legal framework that will enable a law to govern the operations of JIDA. That is one. The second thing is, because of the absence of the law, a lot of things were done that were not within the confines and spirit of the law, and therefore it is imperative that to basically conform to these things in terms of placing a legal framework or bringing a legal framework into force, we needed to go back and look at everything that has been done in the past and find a way to correct all those things that were not properly done. So that at the end of the day, there's a lot of transparency in the way the program is run that meets the requirements of the public. And therefore, we found it necessary to, one, engage in a money, value for money audit that enabled us to check whether there was actual good returns on investment of government's money in training some of these people. And by the meetings and the investigations that we've done, we came to a conclusion that it did not serve government's interest to continue with the kind of programs that were running, and therefore there was a need to terminate them.
Yeah, once these programs or contracts have been terminated, in a situation where, or after doing your due diligence and putting in place the necessary legal framework, would these service providers be re-engaged?
It's not a matter of they being re-engaged. You know, what pertained in the past was that people brought their own proposals to JIDA, and JIDA just gave them the go-ahead to go and implement them. We think that is not the way to go. What actually needs to happen is that JIDA should, at the end of every year, or at the beginning of every year, do a skills audit that establishes the kind of training programs that are needed to get our youth employable. And therefore, once we've done a skills audit and we know what skills are being looked for, we will issue out a request in the form of an RFP that will clearly spell out what JIDA is looking for in terms of skills training, what terms and conditions pertain to anybody who wants to engage in that kind of training for us, the monitoring and evaluation mechanism, the internal control systems, and then we put these RFPs out. Once you see it and you respond, it means you are ready to conform with the kind of things we are looking for as an agency. And so when we go through a technical evaluation of your proposal that you submit in response to our request, we would engage you based on the way you score in terms of how the proposals are evaluated. So that is how we are going to go. And you see, this brings a lot of transparency in the system, in the sense that now whatever JIDA wants people to be trained in is advertised for everybody to see, so that people will not be inhibited from bringing up their proposals. And once this is done, the transparency element is there. The second thing is that if you say you are training so many people, we want to see how, where, and when you are training them in terms of numbers. And we want to introduce a biometric system that clearly enables us to establish the numbers, the identities of people you are training. So at the end of the day, we can generate reports that can be used for internal audit mechanisms by the internal audit agencies of the country. So that is how we want to go from now on.
Yeah, so how soon are you going to see this done?
These things are ongoing. For instance, the law, the bill, has gone through a number of revisions already. It's at the Attorney General's Department. Once it clears that part of the government structure, it goes down to a cabinet subcommittee that looks at it, makes a recommendation to cabinet. Cabinet gives it approval, and then it heads to parliament. But before it heads to parliament, we would have a stakeholders conference that allows every Ghanaian who is interested in how JIDA has to be run to come and make an input, which at the end of the day will be incorporated into the final literature that goes before Parliament for passage into law. That is one part. At the same token, we are assembling a team to do the regulations and policy with an implementation plan, so that once the law is passed, the bill is passed into law, there's a policy guideline that guides the whole bill. And once we go through those processes, we know we have a legal framework in place with a policy plan attached to it. All these are ongoing things that are done quietly. This doesn't require any fanfare, so they are currently ongoing. and then the internal restructuring that JIDA itself needs in terms of human resource development, training them in effective monitoring and evaluation, and all those other things that we need to do. These are all currently ongoing.
Well, that was the National Coordinator of JIDA, Kobe Echampo, and we are unable to get in touch with the service providers whose contracts have been terminated for their reactions. But with this termination, is it part of measures by government to deal with corruption? And we go to the phone lines also to talk to Emil Short, who is a former commissioner of Shraj on this directive. Good evening, Senya. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Well, sir, looking at this directive, would you say it's a step in the right direction in our approach to dealing with corruption?
Well, I cannot say because I don't really know what the contracts are all about and why they have been cancelled. I don't know the details of the contract. I do know there has been a lot of, you know, dissatisfaction about the way JIDA was being run, and the report, you know, was very negative about, you know, JIDA. And it also implicated a number of people. And the expectation had been that those who are implicated in terms of corruption would be investigated and prosecuted. That is something that we haven't seen or heard about. So I'm not able to say whether the cancellation of the contract, you know, has any significance or relevance to the fight against corruption.
Well, but we know society is desperate about the level of corruption in the country. What really is wrong with our approach to dealing with this social canker?
Well, I think there has been a lot of talk about it. You know, all manner of people have spoken about it, the churches, the Christian Council, you know, people in public office, both in the NDC and the NPP have spoken about it and have indicated that we are not doing enough to fight corruption. I think the majority of Ghanaians would like to see some positive action. There has been enough talk, but I think most people want to see some positive action. And by that, I mean that most Ghanaians want to see people held accountable, people who are implicated in acts of corruption and embezzlement held accountable, investigated and prosecuted. We have heard about the Auditor General's reports, which are sent to the Public Accounts Committee. These reports talk about corruption and embezzlement, but we haven't heard about any action being taken against those who are implicated. I think the majority of Ghanaians will want to see some action on these reports that consistently every year come out implicating or alleging corruption and embezzlement of state funds. And also, I think we have heard and we know that, you know, a blueprint for fighting corruption has been developed by all stakeholders. This blueprint, which is the National Anti-Corruption Plan, was delivered to the President when he was Vice President in 2011, and he passed it on to Parliament. But as of yet, Parliament has not, you know, discussed it and adopted it as a national policy document so that we could, you know, take embark upon the various steps which are contained in this document to fight corruption. So these are some of the actions which I think a lot of Ghanaians would like to see as evidence that we are taking the fight against corruption very seriously.
Then comes in the question, why is it that we have numerous laws and mechanisms, yet they are not effective as they should be in our fight against corruption?
Why the mechanisms are not enough?
They are not effective as they should be.
Well, that's a difficult question for me to answer, but I think it all depends on the leadership. Everything goes down to leadership. I mean, in the fight against corruption, leadership is critical. Leadership is key because the leadership drives the agenda, especially in the fight against corruption. So if these institutions are not effective, then the buck stops with the leadership of the institution.
Well, you talked about the leadership, yet there are others who have also blamed society for perpetrating corruption. They think our social system promotes corruption. If you try to be honest and patriotic, society tends to have negative perception about you, and you may suffer for it if you retire.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I mean, in the fight against corruption, everybody is part of the problem and part of the solution. We as individuals, the general public, must resist and fight corruption. And if we don't, and if we promote it, then we are being part of the problem rather than being part of the solution. So, you know, the general public must be encouraged to resist it and to report, you know, acts of corruption. And this is why I go back to the National Action Anti-Corruption Plan, which has developed various activities, you know, to encourage the general public, you know, to educate the general public about the evils and the disastrous effects of corruption and the need for everybody that is involved to resist corruption and to contribute collectively to the fight against corruption. It will be recalled that even the president recently said that corruption amounts to mass murder. In another conference, corruption was even described as a crime against humanity because corruption deprives the citizen of much needed resources for social services like education, health, and infrastructure development. So it's a very serious problem. It's a developmental problem. And it is important that each and every one of us, you know, collectively, you know, join the fight against corruption. We must not politicize the issue, and we must, you know, put heads together and fight it. But I think that the leadership in the various institutions, both the executive, judiciary, parliament, really needs to drive the agenda so that, you know, you bring along the general public to be part of the fight against corruption.
And how do you feel when perceived acts of corruption are politicized in media commentaries?
How do I feel when it is politicized?
Yes, in media commentaries.
Well, I think that's also part of the problem. I think the media and all of us must understand that this is a national problem which must not be politicized, and we must put our heads together, you know, to fight the problem. But, you know, in Ghana, almost every issue is politicized, and you know, many people at the beginning of the year have indicated that we would like to see in 2014 a lot of issues being discussed in a bipartisan manner rather than, you know, being politicized. And I think corruption is one of the national issues which we would like to see some kind of national consensus. And this is why it is important that we all go back to this anti-corruption plan, which was developed by all stakeholders, including people from the various political parties, civil society, the private sector, government, parliament. Actually, everybody, every sector was part of the development of this plan. And the fact that the plan is still languishing in parliament is rather very discouraging. And I hope that soon we'll be able to, the government will be able to take some positive action on this plan.
And dealing with corruption and the way forward, do you believe that resourcing anti-corruption state organizations is the way to go, if they are well resourced?
Well, it's important that they are well resourced, but you need strong leadership, you know, to be able to. I mean, it's one thing to resource an institution, but if the leadership is not strong enough, then resourcing the institution by itself is not going to make much difference. So you need both. You need the resources, but you need strong leadership. Leadership that is committed and dedicated to fighting corruption in a robust and aggressive manner. So, I mean, both are important.
All right, Mr. Short, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Emil Short is a former commissioner of Shiraj. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Behind the News is also live on Unique FM 95.7 in Accra, Igra Radio 89.5 in Bogatanga, Radio Savannah 91.2 in Tamarind, Garden City Radio 92.1 in Kumasi. 31 years ago, Upper West Region was created out of the then Upper Region during the era of the Provisional National Defense Council headed by Flight Lieutenant J.J. Rawlins. Tonight, we want to get the thoughts of some stakeholders of the Upper West Region. The first political administrator of the Upper West Region is currently the MP for Wild West, and he is in the person of Joseph Yilitre, who was the PNDC secretary for the Upper West from 1983 to 1985, and also when the country returned to constitutional rule in 1993, he again became the regional minister 1993 to 1997. We will be getting in touch with Mr. Yilitre later on what he can say about the Upper West Region when he was given the task to be the first political head in the PNDC era. But first, let's go to the phone lines and speak with Saha Non Monta, who has the privilege of administering the Upper West Region under the regime of President J.A. Kufuor, and he is on the line to tell us how he feels about the region's development march as a citizen. Good evening, sir, and you are welcome to the program.
Good evening, and thank you so much.
Well, is the Upper West on the development course that you envisaged when you were at the helm of affairs?
I would like to thank say good evening to your good listeners. As you rightly said, the Upper West Region was created about 31 years ago. And I came into the region as regional minister when it was about 15, 16 years old. Yes. You know, naturally, the creation of the region brought governance to the doorsteps of the good people of Upper West Region. Hitherto, they had to travel several miles to Bolgatanga, which was then the capital of the Upper Region. But with the creation of the region, everything was decentralized. We had our own regional administrators, all the regional offices, the decentralized departments all had their headquarters in the Upper West Region. So it made work easier, swifter, and cheaper. And naturally, that brought quick development to the area. And with the creation of the region, more districts were opened. And that actually further sent development to the doorsteps of the good people of the region. given that the creation of the region brought some relief to the people, opened up the area.
Yeah.
More people, workers, came into the region. The population went up, and that actually gave meaning to developmental projects in the area in the form of infrastructure. Comments became opened up, and indeed, it brought a lot of changes to the area. I don't know whether you are okay.
So, when you have the opportunity to sit in a forum of former regional ministers and tasked to present a priority development agenda for the region, which areas will you put forward to make life comfortable for the people?
Yes, actually, when I was appointed as a regional minister and I came in, definitely I came in with an agenda to continue with the development of the region. In fact, when I came in, the region became the only region in Ghana where the road linking it to the national headquarters was not hard. So it was an uphill task to take up the issue of government. Unfortunately, I saw the region linked to the headquarters by a hard road. So that was very significant. So now you can wear a white shirt and then travel from Wa to Accra and start walking into any office your choice. But hitherto, it wasn't the case. You needed to maybe change yourself because of the dirty road. Secondly, as at the time I came to the region, the University for Development Studies had been established with campus in Tamale and Ebrongo. But the Wa campus was not actually running. So it became a task for me to work hard to get the campus established in Wa. And I tell you, it brought about a sharp development, influx of people into the region, commerce boomed, transportation opened up. You can name it. So you can see that with a creation of a region, it really opens up all the sectors in the area. So this is what we have achieved, and I believe that is so significant in the region.
Well, Mr. Mokhtar, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Sahanu Mokhtar had the privilege of administering the Upper West region under the regime of former President J.E. Kufuor. And now let's turn to the landlord of Upper West, and we have the Tumu Kuru Richard Bebini Kantong, who is the Vice President of the Regional House of Chiefs. Welcome to the program, sir.
Yeah, thank you, madam.
Well, as the youngest region and being the landlord, how is it like having your own political region when it was created 31 years ago?
Yeah, like, thank you for giving me this opportunity. Yeah, like the regional minister has already said, yeah, it has really opened up. I think the then PNDC chairman, Philip and John Rawlings, I think he did a very laudable thing by splitting the region into two. Well, that part of the country was really very handicapped. So once he created, giving it a capital, I think it has brought a lot of infrastructure. Before that, I think we had only the Sesala, the Wala, and the Dagatu Confederation. But with the creation of the region, I think we now have about 17 paramounts, and we have our own regional House of Chiefs, which is in Wa. And then, and the creation of the region has also created so many districts, which has brought a lot of infrastructure development, creation of schools, hostels, Rose, what have you? I think the president just commissioned this rural water project development, and I believe it will also bring a lot of development to the area. Like the Ranger Minister said, yeah, the UDS, I think, has been given a lot of expansion, and we are even thinking that we'll have a full university for the region.
Well, Koro Kantong, as the landlord, you have worked with a number of regional ministers, as you mentioned. What kind of issues do you put before them anytime they assume office, and have they met the aspirations of your people so far?
Yeah, I think I cannot blame them, but the really difficulty we are having in the region, you know, the poorest, the new and poorest region. Our road, the road network is very bad. Like, we always keep on pressing that if they can link Wa to Bolga, which would have brought a lot of development and the administrative work to speed up. But like the other district, we have so many districts in the region. They are not linked up. So this is another challenge what we have. And it's a farming community, and if we could get irrigation, this is one of our problems there. If we get irrigation, I think it will help the poor farmers there. Well, all the regional ministers, when they come, we will tell them this, and they also do their best. So I don't think we can blame them as much. Yeah.
And what lessons can the rest of the country pick from the region in the area of traditional administration?
Yeah. We are very peaceful people, and you hardly hear of this chieftaincy disputes as it happens in the other parts of the country. So I think that if the other areas take up how we administer our people, I believe it will help the country to grow. We do not fight over chieftaincy issues there. So that's what we have in our place.
Well, Tumukoro, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Tumukoro Koro Richard Bebini Kantong is the Vice President of the Regional House of Chiefs. And it's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, Accra. And still on the Upper West, Alhaji Ahmed Sulemani is the Minister for Roads and Highways, an MP for Sisala West, and he was also a former regional minister. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, my sister, and thank you to your cherished listeners.
Well, Alhaji, would you say the creation of the Upper West from the Upper East region has tremendously facilitated the development of the Upper West region?
Exactly so, my sister. I was lucky at the age of 25 to be appointed the first TNDC Deputy Regional Secretary and welcomed Yelechiwe, the Upper West region, which we were there in March after 14th January when the region was the PNDC chairman, then Yel Rowling signed into law. And I might say that he should have been well at the beginning. Me and my boss, we shared the same house. It was in the master bedroom, and I was in the room. We shared facilities for a while. And now you go to Upper West, there are lots of, the regional minister now lives in the six-bedroom house. I think that alone tells you that we've moved from real region with nothing to something now. The Upper West region, except that was part of the then upper region, and certainly we were just like treated as the districts were just treated as separate. But when we got the region, we were as the capital. There's been a lot of accelerated development. We're only three districts, Lora, Sisala, and Wa, Now we have 11 districts with a municipality in Wa. That tells you that we've really grown far.
But the region is also facing some challenges like a bad road, poor standard of education, and the perennial bushfires.
Well, these are challenges we face in every part of Ghana. And they are not, but of course, otherwise being the least in terms of road network, that's third road. And also being the last region, we were unfortunate. We feel at a time that one day revolution, there's really no special funding for the region. And we just carried on with the normal budget to develop the region. So that is why we still have so many challenges in the region. But in terms of education, until recently, I would say Upper West produced bad results. Upper West actually has produced some of the best brains in this country, I must say. It's in recent times that we are recording poor results at our basic level. But I don't think that Upper West, in terms of education, one can say that we are that bad. We produce some of the brilliant jobs in this country. In terms of bushfire, the whole North is it's a problem confronting the whole North. It's a cultural practice that we need a lot of education and a lot of time. We've tried all methods across the length and breadth of Northern Ghana to do early burning, all manner of things. But the cultural practice that has really been there for a while, for a long time, and we are on it with education.
And what are the economic potential of the region that could be harnessed to improve the standard of living of the people?
Upper West region basically is agricultural. We have a lot of agricultural land. And if we presently we do a lot of farming, as I heard one of my paramounts using, one of the basic problems facing the people is that the short rainy season, thereafter we have a long spell of dry season and they are idling throughout. If we are able to have some water bodies where the youth can engage in the dry season gardening to supplement the wet season farming, we'll go a long way. I think we have an agricultural potential in the region which can open the region up. We have a lot of arable lands, and I think agri is one of our things that can open the West region.
Well, so right now, what does the future hold for the region?
Oh, it's very bright. The future is bright for the Upper West region, and in fact, indeed, for Ghana. Upper West region, south of Ghana, the future is bright for the Upper West region.
And Alaji, you are a member of parliament representing one of the constituencies in Upper West. What kind of development priorities do you envisage for the region so that those who created the region will not regret their decision to create a new region for that matter?
I didn't get too well. And I was not good.
Well, I'm saying that what kind of development priorities do you envisage for the region so that those who created the region will not regret their decision to create a new region for that matter?
Well development, I heard my paramount chief saying, I happen to be one of the players on the ground for a very long time. From deputy, I went to Bulgar for 6 years, came back as deputy, moved to Accra, as a minister of state, moved back as regional minister, moved out, and came back as regional minister. And the Upper West has a lot of development challenges. Basically, starting from our road network, I would say that a lot has happened in the Upper West in terms of electricity supply, in terms of expansion, as far as education is concerned. We have created a lot of secondary schools since the creation of the region. In fact, we have so many secondary schools in the Upper West region. In terms of electricity supply, the Upper West region is one of the regions that I would say that has a lot of coverage of electricity supply. I would say basically we would need to work on our roads. The road network is one of the things hindering the development of the Upper West region because it doesn't allow free movement of goods and persons among the districts, as the chief has said. And that's one of our tasks that we have been set to do. And we'll try to work towards that direction to open the region up.
Well, that was coming to that. Your plans to improve the road high and highways in the region. How do you go about it?
Well, they are not my plans. They are the plans of the President of the Republic, which I am carrying out. These plans are to ensure that we link, like the chief said, we try to link our sister region, Upper West, to Upper East. That's a major trunk road. And when that road is opened up, and also try to see how we can link to our neighboring country, Burkina Faso, through Hamle. With these two linkages, we'll be able to contain the rest of the batteries, the other adjoining roads in the region. And once that is done, I believe that progress will be open up.
Well, Alhaji, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Alhaji Amidi Sulemani is the Minister for Roads and Highways and MP for Sisala West. And if you were an ardent listener to Radio Ghana in the 1990s and greater parts of the 2000s, you will identify a particular name to news stories and features from the Upper West region. The name Chris Salabina was a regular voice on GBC Network as the regional correspondent. For 22 years, Chris filed reports from the Upper West region until he retired with the rank of head of news. We asked Chris whether the media have been telling the stories of the region, given his experience as a regional correspondent. Good evening, Mr. Salabina, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening, Ayata.
Well, Mr. Salabina, can you take us back to your early days as a correspondent for GBC in the Upper West region and the kind of stories you filed to Accra?
I was transferred to the Upper West region in October 1989. And when I got to the regional capital, even though it had been created as a regional capital, my first report that I did was like, it was still a small, dusty district capital. The roads were on tar. From Wa to any place you were going to write a report, you were riding on lateral roads. And you know what it is like. You come back looking like a grave digger when you report back to the station, and you still have to file your story.
Well,
in 1990, it started with the Wa Town Road. In 1992, the road towards there. And these were reports that we were given. We're concerned about the development of the area. And so if there was anything that we could do to improve upon the lives of the people of the Upper West region, we did.
Well, Mr. Labila, what you were in the region, which was relatively young, what development challenges did you see as something that should be reported to draw attention to the plight of the people? Hello, Ms. Alabila. Well, it appears we lost Chris Alabila on the line. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. Let's read some of your text messages. And there you, Faruk Kintamali, says, in fact, the termination of the contract by the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Employment is a step in the right direction. This shows that President Mahama is out to fight corruption. JB Iniendi says President Mahama should fire the chief executive of NPA for fuel shortage. The president said 2014 will be a better year, but we've started with bad news. And Baba Musang Tamani says the decision by government to terminate all the contracts with some service providers is a clear testimony that President Mahama's government would not countenance on any corruption and financial malpractice. And Issa in Wales says government should not only talk about should talk but should take pragmatic steps in retrieving the huge sums lost under Jeddah. Jinsud Rashid in Wales says yes indeed, Upper West region is 31. Let's join hands as people, philanthropists, NGOs and government agencies support this region in any kind towards sustainable community development. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana Accra. And earlier I talked about the first political administrator of the Upper West region, who is currently the MP for Wild West, and he is in the person of Joseph Yilichire. Good evening, sir, and you're welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Well, Mr. Yilichire, looking back 31 years ago, what can you say about the Upper West region when you were given the task to be the first political head in the PNDC era.
Thank you very much, your listeners. Also, I'm sorry that I was far away from my phone when you called. But I think that it will be a Yapo West region, as some of the speakers already said, was a district at itself and far away from any main activities. And it was very challenging at those days to start a new region with virtually nothing. And we converted district offices into regional offices with the same capacity to hold staff and also to be able to get all the things going on. The human resource was poor. I mean, the people who were sidelined were sent to the region at that time as if they were not part of central government. But of course, the successive government that have also instituted some measures helped us a bit. With our office accommodation, the PNDC helped to complete a few of the offices. And I can see that what really pulled all of us together was the enthusiasm of the Upper West region. They themselves had a development fund to accelerate the space of development that I've always yearned for. And that alone held us together. I believe that the drive was more for us to get our people to appreciate that this was an opportunity for them to show that they were capable of developing and developing fast. If you also look at Upper West Region, the human resource in itself, I mean, indigenous religion was rich, but it was spread over the rest of Ghana, particularly in the Upper East and the Northern region. So I believe that the task we had to, young as we were, particularly with my colleague, the Minister for Roads and Highways, was to handle this, make sure that all the information we needed from Bolga to be able to handle the region were established. We also consulted extensively with those who were in the public services to guide us. And I would say we're very grateful for the kind of support we had to be able to establish that region and make it run. And we initiated a number of projects. And today, we can at least boast of some of what we see in terms of electricity, telephone, and the rest of the projects that you can see today.
Well, Mr. Ileche, so in terms of development vision for the region, would you say your successors are carrying on with them?
Yes. In terms of development for the region, we have always looked at getting schools established in the region to continue to produce the human resource. And even before, after we continued in the NDC era, the establishment of the UDS campus in the Upper West region was initiated by us, and we created the avenue for this. On the side of education, we have made progress. The second one was health. And of course, if you look at the kind of interventions that we had, we have been able to provide a wide spread of health facilities. And I'm saying that if you look at generally, the road sector is still our biggest problem. And as my colleague was already indicating, we have the poorest network, no tar roads. And it is important that we still.
All right. Mr. Ileture, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Joseph Ileture is MP for Wild West and the first political administrator of the Upper West region. And Chris Anlaubila has joined us again. Chris, welcome back to the program. We lost you earlier there. And Chris, we have a pluralistic media in the country, and the Upper West region is no exception to this. As a seasoned regional correspondent, why should the media turn its attention?
I think that the media should continue to harp on the necessary essential for life of the people of this region to improve. They should continue to talk about the roads. They should continue to talk about education. They should continue to talk about water. Right now, water in Wa does not cover even a third of the population of the town. And most of people depend on tanker service. And even where the pipelines are, it's just once a week or sometimes once, you know, it's not regular. So they should continue to have on that. They should continue to have on the roads. We wrote and wrote and wrote about Wa Bambel Road. Thanks be to God, it ends, they finally tied that road in 2009, and it made life much smoother. We now have a lot of companies and that have buses coming to Wa. Unlike before, we depended on just the SEC to get to Kumasi or Accra. And the services were there 3 times a week. Today, we can count as many as 10 OA travel and talk buses in Wa loading one day. So you can imagine what the road has brought to this. The improvement of the road has brought to the whole region. And I have written, and I think that they should continue to write, what government has to do is to link Wa to Borgatenda by Tar Road, link Wa to Tamale by Tar Road. And leave the three northern regions who will develop themselves.
Well,
and these are the areas I think we should continue to have on. Because roads are essential for the development. So people need to stabilize, ideas, trade. Can you imagine that there is no trade seriously between Boga and Wa? So it is Boga and Tamale.
Mm.
I mean, Wa and Tamale.
Yeah.
I think that is the task because that road is smooth.
Well, Chris, briefly, you had a remarkable way of signing off your reports for Radio Ghana. Can my listeners have a take of that sign-off which made one to expect your next report from the Upper West Regional Capital, Wa?
Tell me again.
I'm saying that you had a remarkable way of signing off your reports for Radio Ghana. And can my listeners have a take of that sign-off which made one to expect your next report from the Upper West Regional Capital, Wa?
Thank you, Agatha. I had a one way of signing out. You will hear from Wa. This has been Crystal Avila reporting for Radio Ghana. Or from Wa, this has been Crystal Avila reporting for Ghana Today.
All right, Chris, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Chris Alabila is a retired head of news of GBC and a former regional correspondent for the Upper West region. And it's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. Makumba also says the fight against corruption is a collective responsibility. Until we change our attitudes as Ghanaians and allow patriotism to be our hallmark, corruption will forever remain a canker. And Dan Kane Spinter says the government should not only terminate their contracts but also make sure these companies cough up the money too. And we understand Dr. Vian Soy is back on the line. Good evening, Dr. Vian. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, madam, and my greetings to all your wonderful listeners.
How does it 35th anniversary of your region come to you?
Well, exciting, you know. Great to hear. My region is 31 years old. It means that we've been doing so much up to now, and that we still have to do much, much more.
Doing much, much more. What would you say are some of the highlights of your achievement?
Well, thank you very much. But first of all, I think it is an opportunity to celebrate all my predecessors. As you can hear, a lot of them express the thing they have done. We have moved very, very, very fast, and it's important that we celebrate and we try to acknowledge the huge, huge, huge work they have done that have brought us this far. But having said that, I think beyond that, there are still a lot that we have to do. And I've been here about 9 months ago, and within that time, we've tried to go from where they have left. As you can hear some of them say, our roads are really bad. Our water supply up to now, for Wa Township alone, is is not very good. Many of our cities, the water supply is not good. There's a lot of coverage of the river water. The school performance is very bad. Maternal mortality is bad. Sanitation is very, very bad. So it means that in part of the huge achievement that we have done, we have got, we still have to try and deliver this. And it's on the basis of this week I can tell what we have been trying to achieve along with the people, the chief and people of this region, in terms of trying to craft a documentation that will take care of what my predecessors have done up to now, and then to define clearly what is it that they have left that we have to try and complete. That's what we think so far, this is what the region has achieved in terms of results, in terms of having a regional divorce strategy that identifies what you have done, what you need to do. And so far, that's what we have done. And in the process, in terms of results, as you heard Chris, the veteran journalist, say water is a problem. And because I'm engaging a World Bank now, from what we just received, will be about almost 100% coverage in the next 2 years, because we just got over 20 million Ghana cedis, small water system, and over 250 boreholes to be delivered because of this RDS to ensure that we get enough water. The president recently commissioned the wild water system that's going to supply in excess of what we will need in the next 2 years, that's 2015. Very soon, you know, all over Ghana, one of the greatest challenges that government is very concerned with now, which is our priority as a government, is sanitation. And we have set up in motion already urban municipal waste management system that in the next 2 years or so should be in place, so that WA as a city and other places like Jirapa, Laura, Tuma, others would not face the kind of sanitation problem we are having. Currently, we are just starting, as the chief from Tumu said the other time, our main area has to do with agriculture. That's our mainstay. And of course, my predecessor, Elijah Sulemana, the Minister for Roads and Highways, who's a veteran in terms of Upper West politics and Upper West political management, also mentioned about agri being our mainstay. So we are starting to try and exploit the water bodies that we already have, so that we can already deliver in the dry season, and so that we can stem this kind of rural urban movement. All and right. Upper West, I'm told, is about the highest. Mm. So we are achieving quite a lot. And just to add that we are now engaging the World Bank. They were here on the 19th for 3 days. And in fact, they are coming again on the 20th or 23rd.
Very well.
And our mainstay is going to be agric. To see how, since agric is our mainstay, how do we get most of the people engaged in what they are interested in, what they live for, and what they can achieve quicker for themselves. So we've done quite a lot in the short while to try and catch up in the areas that my predecessors, because of time and other economic financial and other resource constraints did not actually make up for those. Mm.
Well, then, happy anniversary, Doc. And I want to thank you for your time with us
thank
tonight.
You thank you very much.
Doctor.
And then we're hoping that we continue in this kind of relationship.
All right. Dr. Ephraim Avianso is the current Upper West Regional Minister. And let's quickly read some of your text messages. And Napoleon from Tumu Sankofa Bay says, determination of contracts or some service providers under JIDA is in the right direction. And Commander in Accra, New Town says, behind the news is my best radio program so far. Keep it up and keep on with the works you are doing for Maza Ghana. Many thanks. And Mashudin Nagbelempe says, President Mahama is capable and willing to fight corruption, so Ghanaians give him some time. And Peter Danwa in Upper West says, everything has increased in this country, but what is the government saying about national service personnel's allowance, which is 240 cedis a month. Many thanks for your text messages. This is where we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program. Roxanne Wood controlled the sounds, and my producers were Christopher Siedu Bright Agama, John Povey and Celestine Avi. Jonathan Thompson read the summaries. My name is Agatha Samoa, and you have a lovely night.